Okay, so today I've got an exciting subject to speak about. I'm going to talk about death. Wow. Yeah, I am. I'm going to talk about death today. You know, I was thinking about why, you know, I just felt to share on this, and I was thinking about why a couple things come to mind. One, I like a lot of like World War II history, you know. And you know, I was watching a documentary on Netflix, and Ronnie came downstairs. It was like late at night. She goes, "Who are you talking to?" And I was talking to myself because I was watching that, and I was like so amazed that these men went through. I mean, and that the whole world was in upheaval. There was war all over the planet. And I can't imagine living in that day. And the guys, and I was reading a story about my dad who was in World War II, because I just found it again, because he spoke at a World War II day they have every year in Reading, Pennsylvania. And I typed up his speech for him. And he was basically, he was talking about in his town, when they heard about Pearl Harbor being bombed, he said that every single, everybody in his whole class, high school class, basically got signed up to be in the Army, you know? Everybody went overseas, and they willfully wanted to do this because they knew if they didn't act that the world would be a horrible place, you know? So they felt like they had to act. And you know, you think about these guys, they really lived life, like my father and people of that generation, they call it the greatest generation, without fear, because I think they lived through a tremendous fear, not knowing. Their thoughts were, 50% chance I make it back. You know, that's what they were thinking of when they were going overseas. There's a 50% chance I'm going to live or I'm going to die in Germany or Japan or wherever they were going. And that was an amazing thing. Then most recently, there's a man, which I can't even imagine living through this, but there's a man who I know who attends the church in Karlstadt that we used to attend. And he recently just lost his 18-year-old son to cancer, and his wife had she had a heart attack and it was in a coma, and she just passed away too, all within the course of a couple of months. And I'm wondering, I'm like, how do you live with that? I mean, how do you get past something like that? And you know, it's funny, we were talking about fear today, you know, and praying over our minds, you know, fear, and we all, you know, cope with that. You know, we all have fears. And really, yesterday also came to mind, like I heard, I think Sue was talking to one of the women I ran into one of the guys at Journal Square. I was giving out the little cards, you know, to invite them for the pancake breakfast. And I gave it to her son, and he said, "Could I bring my mom too?" And I didn't realize it was those people that she came, and I heard her saying that, well, we're living on the streets, you know? So you think about problems you got, right? And these are living on the streets, you know? And I read something not too long ago, like really the problems that we have are rich people's problems. You know, we worry about our car breaking down or, you know, where are we going to go on vacation or what restaurant we're going to go or this thing didn't get delivered to us on time, you know, in the 2 days that was promised to us by Amazon Prime. It's like really stupid stuff for the most part. We worry about a lot of crazy stuff. I mean, we have all the basic stuff we need. We have enough money to live. We have houses. We don't have to worry about our next meal. We're gonna have food, you know. And it's how do you get beyond that type of thing? And that's, you know, when you're at like a funeral, you hear this verse. And, oh yeah, you could see that. Oh, death, where is your sting? So I'm just gonna share that verse from 1 Corinthians. And I listened to and I read 1 Corinthians 15 over and over and over. I can't tell you how many times. Still hasn't fully sunken into my spirit, but I got some of it in me, and I'm gonna share a little bit of it with you. Yeah. So 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, "Oh death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So how does death have no sting is a question. How does death have no sting. So I want to read this story that I ran across on the internet when I was like looking up this subject. So this is a story about a little girl. Camille was riding in the car with her daddy. Since it was a beautiful summer day, the windows were partially down. All of a sudden, a big bee came through an open window. Camille immediately began to panic because she was very allergic to bee stings. She could die if the bee stung her. Camille's father knew what he needed to do. He watched the bee carefully. As the bee flew up near the windshield, it landed on the dashboard for a brief second. With reflexes like lightning, Camille's father cupped his hand right on top of the bee. And then he kept his hand there, waiting, until zing, ouch, the father shouted as he lifted up his hand and let the bee go. "Daddy, daddy," screamed Camille, "the bee will sting me. Help." "No, honey," replied her father. "He can't sting you any longer. The bee only had one sting, and guess where it is." "Where?" asked Camille. With that, the father reached out his hand with his palm up and allowed his daughter to inspect it. There, in the middle of his hand, was a small stinger. Although the bee was still buzzing around, it could no longer sting Camille because that kind of bee had only one sting to give. Camille's father took away the sting of the bee and rescued his little girl. Camille was both happy and sad all at once. Can you guess why? She was happy because she realized that the bee was now powerless to hurt her. She was sad because she realized that her father had taken on painful sting for her. "Do you know what the bee has done?" Camille's dad asked. "What?" asked Camille. "The bee has stung himself to death." Camille looked confused. Her father carefully explained to her that that kind of bee will die soon after it uses its stinger. Just like the bee sting itself to death, so death itself has stung itself to death at the cross. That's hard to understand, but it simply means we do not have to fear what happens after we die. We do not have to fear that death has power over us. Jesus has power over sin and death, and he proved it on the cross. Jesus has taken away the sting of death by taking sin and death upon himself and then single-handedly beating them both. He proved his victory over them by rising from the grave. Christ is more powerful than sin and death. Because of Christ's victory over death, we can be assured that if we have faith in Christ, we will also rise from the grave someday and share in eternal life with him. Because of Christ, death has no lasting power over the Christian. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God and an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. That's in 2 Corinthians. So, death, where is your sting? You know, if we could get this, I think this really diffuses a lot of fear in life. If you really get this into your spirit, it will diffuse a lot of things. So there's a mystery, right? Life is a mystery. The mystery of following Christ, it's a mystery too. So 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory." So immortality, mortal, our flesh has to be exchanged for immortality. And how do we do that? We do that through Jesus Christ. I was thinking while we were worshiping, and worship was so awesome, that there's an exchange that has to occur. You have to let go of the reins, and you finally have to just give up control and let God take control over your life and do things God's way. And that's really, then that begins the process of the mortal, our flesh, being converted into what God wants it to be, into a spirit, and our spirit goes to be with the Lord. We know when we pass away. You know, having that assurance inside of you is a powerful thing. Knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross and that he rose again the third day, and that same power of the resurrection is with us. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, "The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who perish." So those who don't believe, it seems stupid to believe in a cross that somebody rose from the dead. But unto us who believe, it is the power of God. When you believe that Jesus died for you and that he rose again, it's power that is beyond imagination. And it frees you up from having to worry about all the crazy stuff that we worry about, right? When we really let this sink into us and when we truly believe. So, you know, is it your way or is it God's way? It's a constant battle we always fight, right? We want to control our lives. We think we know best, and we think we have ultimate control. But really, in the end, we have to put our trust in God. Another verse in Philippians 3:20-21, it says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." So our citizenship is in heaven. And you know what a citizen is? I put the definition here. It says a legally recognized subject or national of a state, commonwealth, either native or naturalized. So I visited 3 different countries last week. I was in England, I was in Belgium, and I was in France, right? And I met a person who actually grew up in Montclair, who's living in Paris right now. And she works for the same company I do. She's a citizen of the United States, but she's living in Paris, right? So while she's there, she's, you know, adopting to the customs of the French. But she's like knows that she's an American citizen, and her alignment and who she's responsible to ultimately is to the United States, not to France, even though she's living there and she has to abide by the laws. But she's not, she doesn't have to conform to their laws in the ultimate sense of it, because she's not an ultimate citizen there. She does have to abide by the laws there, just like we do when we're here on Earth, on planet Earth. We are citizens of heaven, right? We belong to God. We live on this earth. Sometimes we, you know, you could live in another country and then kind of like feel like you more of that country than you are from your own country if you allow it. And you could do the same thing here on earth if you don't recognize that your citizenship is in heaven, and you could actually start thinking the way that the earth would have you think, and that the prince of the power of the air would have you think, that, you know, you have ultimate control of your life. It's all about you. You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, heavenly things or godly things. You only have to worry about yourself. And you could even start thinking very temporally or carnally, you know, and get totally caught up in the living on planet Earth here, the way that everybody else does, not the way that God wants you to do. So who do you answer to is a question. You know, where do you recognize that you are a citizen of heaven, or do you really think that that doesn't really matter and all you have to do is to worry about what, you know, pleasing other people around you? So I think that I was thinking about the fear of death and the fear of man are very closely related. You know, when it speaks about the fear of man, you're worried about what other people think. We heard a little bit about that this morning already. You're worried about, you know, pleasing other people. And if you don't go according to their way, even though it might be contrary to God's way, then, you know, you would have a tendency to not do things the way that God would have it. And you would bend and you would, you know, kind of give up that and go along with everybody else just to keep your friends happy or other people happy, your coworkers or whatever, other people you run into. So in Luke 12:4-7, it says, fear them not, for there is nothing covered that shall be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetop. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, but the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So who are you afraid of? You know, who are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Are you worried about pleasing other people around you who want you to do wild and crazy things, you know, ungodly things, you know, compromising your belief systems for what? For making somebody happy who in the end won't even be behind you when something goes wrong? Who do you want to align yourself with? And what does it really matter in the end, you know? It's hard sometimes to go against the flow, you know, of the culture. We know the culture, though, is very destructive for people. And, you know, the culture will tell you, you know, you have to be successful, you have to make lots of money. And in the end, you know, all that stuff doesn't matter. And we see people with lots of money who are not very happy, right? You know, if riches increase, it says in the scripture, do not count in them, you know. So God blesses people. And, you know, as long as you keep, I also heard this other saying is that as long as things don't control you, you know, you control those things, that's okay. But, you know, every good gift comes from God, and even wealth comes from God. And we have to remember that we are citizens of heaven, and that you have to come to the realization that people can't hurt you. You know, they the only thing they could do is damage your body, but they can't damage your spirit. And in the end, that's all that matters. And that is really an enabler to overcome fear, is to have that assurance and knowledge that you are God's, and God is with you and inside of you, and that you're part of his family. Not your allegiance is not with the world. Your allegiance is with God. So I'll break it down a little bit more, since, you know, it's football season, right? So if you're a football fan of the Giants, you're not going to be rooting for the New England Patriots, right, when they play them. Your team is the Giants, and that's the team that you're going to stick with, even though they might really stink and aren't any good. You're going to stay with them. You're not going to switch sides. And in the end, you know, they're teams ebbs and flow, then they'll be on the top and you'll be happy, right? But when it comes to spiritual things, it's, you know, you just don't switch sides for convenience sake because you're surrounded by other people who are speaking, well, this is the way you're to go, right? I had an opportunity recently. I had this dilemma, right? So I had an offsite meeting with our whole team, and it was like a team building thing, and they had these questions, and it was really getting at some deep personal stuff, like what you believe in and whatnot. And it was speaking about what type of music do you listen to? Like, they were trying to, you had to guess, like, what kind of music would John listen to, you know? And you didn't, you know, you just knew him in a work environment, so you're like, well, I think John would like, they thought I would like Billy Joel. And I'm like, well, no, I don't really listen to Billy Joel, though. I don't mind him. And they're like, well, what kind of music do you listen to? And I said, well, I listen to something called Christian contemporary music. And I said, it's a genre out there. And it is. So I had to, like, you know, tell them, you know, that I could have like, you know, said, oh, I like to listen to Bob Dylan because I do like to listen to him, but his gospel music, right? You got to serve somebody. It might be the devil. It might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. I could do a whole bunch of messages all around Bob Dylan songs, but I could. There's like a lot of good stuff in here. But I had that choice in my mind. I said, I could have like went, because I'm going to, well, what are these people going to think about me? You know, but my citizenship is in heaven, and it really doesn't matter in the end. And, you know, they need to know where I stand eventually. Anyway, they're going to know that eventually. They're going to figure it out, unless I'm totally bluffing, you know, and I'm a different person at work than I am, you know, in church or when I'm reading the Bible, you know, and trying to live God's way. So I treat, you know, I mean, it's when you're a believer and you say it the same way, well, you know, I believe in doing unto others as you'd have them do unto me. You know, I believe in the golden rule. I treat everybody the same. What you do at your spare time is up to you. But while I'm at work, I'm treating everybody with respect and with honor and dignity. And that's living the godly way. You know, and, what's wrong with that? Isn't that this thing about things being hidden, being revealed? I think we're seeing a lot of that right now. You know, the whole movement, like that hashtag MeToo movement. You know, there's a lot of like things that have been hidden that are starting to be revealed. I've been praying that like prayer for a while too, that whatever's hidden will be revealed. You know, in the powers that control, you know, government and, you know, even like, you know, we're talking about Hollywood too. And even in those things, the subversive messages that they try to get across to you, you know, if you really watch some of the movies and how they try to like convince you to their worldview and to live that way, you could say, oh, this is what this is all about. You know, it's trying to make you to accept things that you know that are not, you know, aligned with God. So, you know, When you boil it down, you know, what should we be really worried about? Somebody who could hurt the body or somebody who's, you know, our soul for everlasting life? And we know where our blessings start today. When you're living this way with God and you can walk on the planet Earth without fear, it's a pretty awesome thing. You don't have to worry about compromising because of fear what other people would have you to do. So Jesus even said this in John 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So I'll ask you this question. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe whoever believes in his name, though he dies, his flesh will die, yet he will live, right? Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So, you know, do you believe that? Do you really honestly believe that? Sometimes I wonder about myself. I don't know, you have to answer to yourself, not to me. But sometimes I wonder if I live that way, that I truly believe, you know, that Jesus is who he said he is. You know, I know we all have, like, you know, doubts do come into our minds. I don't think there's anybody who ever lived on planet Earth or anybody who ever followed Christ had any doubts. I mean, even like John the Baptist, you know, he had to be reassured. I'm sure even when Paul was in prison and he wrote these great epistles, he had some doubts too, you know. But in the end, we have to come to this realization and believe this. This is basic stuff, but it's good stuff to, you know, get back into our DNA and to know, you know, correct that DNA. I've been a little, you know, tentative, God. You know, get me back and to really, you know, when you were first saved. do you remember when you were first saved? I mean, you were like, nothing else mattered. You know, it's really a good thing to see somebody who's just saved. It's like, they're a new person, you know, they're born again, like it said, and nothing else ever mattered. And they're like all in on God, like we heard this morning. There's a lot of things lining up. I think we got to get back to that all in on God stuff and just, you know, forget about all the, sometimes we allow the stuff on the periphery, on the edges to come in and to cloud, you know, get back on track and know, you know, Jesus Christ is who he said he is. And I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of him. And I know that I'm going to live. And, you know, he promised the abundant life here too. I'm not just saying that we're going to have to, you know, live. I mean, we got it pretty good, actually, if you think about it. You know, we might look around us and say, wow, it's bad. But there's a lot of good things happening. The thing that Ruth spoke about in our own city, I mean, homicide is down by 50%. That's a pretty good thing, right? I mean, I think we all could rejoice in that. It was a pretty good thing we did yesterday, helping out some people, feeding them breakfast who might not otherwise had breakfast. But even better, it was like the kind touch, you know, and welcoming people to come in. I think that was even more important than the food that they ate, you know, and showing kindness and love and compassion to people. I mean, that's what it's all about, you know, and that's how you live as a citizen of heaven while you're here on planet Earth. And I think that's how, you know, you don't have to, this thing of death won't bite. Romans 14:8. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. You know, it's just knowing, again, that there's so many scripture verses. I mean, there's a lot of scripture verses about this. I was just like reading them, and I could have covered a whole mess more, all about like dying to yourself and knowing that you have life in Christ Jesus. So what causes freedom from death? From fear of death. death does. Isn't that weird? Doesn't that sound weird? How could freedom from death be death? Well, in John 12, it says, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Does that mean you have to like hate yourself? No, it doesn't mean that. What it means is hating the way of the world, you know, that's taking you away from God. That's what it means. It's again, this exchange, you know, not my will, but your will, God. You know, it's doing things God's way. And, you know, I always like, I like to tell like young people, you know, who are kind of like on the fence when it comes to serving God, life always works out better when you do things God's way. You know, that's what this is. Things always work out better when you do things God's way. When you're willing to compromise, when you do things that are not according to God, when you open up yourself to those type of things and put your trust in those type of things, you know, it doesn't turn out good and it creates heartache. God always redeems the situation, but there's still that, you know, damage that has been done. And, you know, there are hearts that have been hurt and problems that have happened as a result of not fully trusting God and his word. There's another thing that the Bible talks about, which is walking by faith. For in 2 Corinthians, it says, "For we know that if the earthly tent, that's our body, we live in, is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So we have this choice, you know. We can walk in the flesh or we can walk by faith. And when we walk by faith, you know, it's a liberating thing, you know. I think that's really what I'm trying to say. Is this? It's a liberating thing when you again get back on track and realize the basics of belief in Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is who He said He is. It says that our spirit groans to be with the Lord. You know, sometimes when things are going really bad, you know, sometimes you're like, I wish I'd just go die and go to heaven. But you know, that's not. God wants you to be on this journey. You know, and a journey is a beautiful thing. It really is the journey of life that we are privileged to have, to be able to bring some other people on the journey with us, to encourage other people on the journey, to you know, go to higher levels in God while you're on this journey too. You know, and to bless other people. You know, all along the way. And to walk by faith, but not by sight. And it's a difficult thing to walk by faith, not by sight. Because, you know, we are such short-term thinkers. I was talking to that woman I was telling you about who's been living in Paris. And I'm like, what's the big difference between living in, like, you know, working in New York? She used to work in New York City. Between New York and working in Paris. She goes, well, you know, it was more or less, she was saying, convenience, because stuff closes down over there. Like, you know, there you can't, she said, it's here, you can get whatever you want 24/7. You know, everything's always on. There, you know, things close down and, you know, things just don't happen as quickly as they happen over here. The service level isn't as what we expect. Well, that's kind of the way we live life. We expect everything to happen, like, you know, tomorrow. But there's something to in the waiting, you know, and the working it out and the trusting and walking by faith and not by what you see, You know, you might have a wayward child. You know, you might be in a tough job situation. You might be suffering with, overcoming something inside of you, you know, that you've had a bad way of thinking, bad, you know. God works those things out, you know. He works, but it doesn't always happen instantly, you know. You have to trust him, you know, and know that these things are going to work out. And as long as you keep on doing the things that God put before you, it always works out for good. So death and life, Romans 8, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So you know what? You're free from sin and death. We've all made mistakes. We've all sinned, right? But we've been washed into blood, right? We've been cleansed. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So, you know, another thing you might struggle with is your past, right? But what you can do is you can point to the scripture verse, and once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and being washed, you're white as snow, right? You could speak to those thoughts that come into your mind when you say, yeah, but you did this. No, there's no condemnation. I am not condemned because Jesus Christ said that he forgave me and all is new. You know, all things are new. So what happened in the past is in the past, and you can move forward in God. So that's another, you know, death and life. He's freed us from the law of sin and death. So we're no longer subject to the law. And we're not, no matter what we did, is covered, is clean. It's you know, it's scot-free. You know, it's like when a cop pulls you over on the side of the road and, you know, you were speeding or whatever, and then he lets you go, you know. You're not held accountable anymore. You know, it didn't matter. It's like it never happened because the ticket wasn't issued, right? It's the same thing. When you sin and when you're forgiven by God, you're free. You're clean. You're clear. You don't have to worry about it. Another thing that's aligned to this is being spiritually minded. So those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You know, think about that. When you're not thinking according to God's way, you can't please God. And the mind governed by the flesh is death. So when you're thinking according to the way that the world thinks, you're aligning yourself with the spirit of death. And we see that like all over the place. I mean, life is like nothing, you know, to the ways of the world. It's like a common thing. Things that once were considered horrible are actually encouraged and are actually asked about. Like if you think about just the very fact of abortion, right? I mean, millions of babies aborted, and it's like people are actually fighting for that right to be able to kill a child. I mean, it's like mind-boggling if you think about the way things were years ago and now where we are, and people will make that what their life call is all about, making sure a woman has a right to kill a baby. I mean, it's amazing that spirit of death, and that's aligning your mind with those type of things. Now, we, of course, if somebody has gone through something like that, you know, we have mercy on people like that. But just saying, but having that as the way that you're living is totally contrary to the way that God would have you think. So aligning yourself with the Spirit it brings life. Verse 9, it says here, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And, you know, once you accept Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. See, once the spirit is inside of you, right, you have life inside of you, and nobody can take that away from you. Nothing, it says in the scripture, can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing. So you have the spirit of God in you, and you can walk in freedom with that. Even but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the spirit gives life. So we have the spirit of life living inside of us. And this is how we have to remember, keeping our mind aligned with the way that God would have us do. And then, the last thing I'd like to share really is the dying to self. The Galatians 2:20, it speaks about, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you have to actually crucify your own self-will. That's what this is all about. You know, we want to do certain things, and those certain things, are, if they're contrary to the way that God would have us do it, that needs to be crucified, you know. So I'm talking today, I'm shared with you about death, but also about life, and life in Christ Jesus is a liberating thing, you know? Can you feel, you know, when the spirit of life is inside of you, you know, all of the weight of worry and anxiety falls off. The fear of man, the fear of not pleasing, being a man pleaser, you know, it falls off, and you're liberated. So it's time to kill something. Time to kill something, you know? Inside of yourself, it's time to kill something. Luke 24, it says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. So, you know, it's kind of like, can you get this around in your mind? But whoever loses their life for me will save it. You know, again, it's giving up control and allowing God to take control. So there's some things in life that you're trying to control yourself today. Everybody's got something inside of you. So what needs to die in you? I put this one scripture verse on the bottom, 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. I remember we used to do this thing with the youth. We'd have like somebody stand on a chair and somebody down below, you know, who's on the, you know, standing on the floor, and, you know, the person on standing on a chair, try to pick the person up to your level. It's hard, right? And the person on, try to pull the person down. It's easy, right? It's easy to get pulled down when you surround yourself with bad company, people who are encouraging you to move in the wrong direction. That's a pretty important thing when it comes to living in God's way. So what are some things that might have to be killed? Well, today you might need to make a recommitment to Jesus Christ, you know, a recommitment to changing your mindset and to being spiritually minded. You might have to you're suffering with lust or pride, where self-worth. Maybe you don't feel, because you made mistakes in the past, you don't feel like you have a lot of self-worth. Maybe you have fear of man. You're trying to please people too much. You know, there's a group of friends or whatever. You're trying to please them as opposed to, you know, coming to that point, you know, where I think we got in worship today, where nothing else matters but just doing things God's way and knowing that all things will work out for good. Maybe it's an addiction, bad relationship, or bad company. It could be something like that. So I'll ask you all to stand as we close. And repeat after me. It's time to kill something. Kill something. So what is it for you? What is it for you that has to die, you know, in order to get aligned with this, you know, walking in the spirit, walking by faith, with your citizenship is in heaven? What is it for you? It's something different for you than it is for me. So I just ask that you, close your eyes in prayer right now. Pray with me. Think about what it is for you, you know, and then put it at the altar, Jesus Christ. You know, remember the day when you were first saved and how how you, when your sins were forgiven and how light you felt because you knew nothing else mattered. Got to get back to that again. Got to get back to that again. Nothing else matters because I am Christ and Christ is mine and he's inside of me and the spirit of life is inside of me and the spirit controls everything. It controls the way I think. It controls what I do. It controls what I say. It controls who I spend my time with, the majority of my time with. It controls my appetite for things because my flesh is subject to the Spirit. And the Spirit is powerful because the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who perish. But to us, it is the power of God. So Lord, I just release that power into myself, into everyone, Lord, right here. Whatever it is that needs to die, let it die now in Jesus' name. I just declare it, Lord. And I just ask for a release, Lord. I ask for a lightening of our load, Lord, of a burden we were carrying that we shouldn't be carrying because we're not putting it at your feet, Lord. It could be that relationship. It could be that addiction. It could be something that we're carrying that we shouldn't be carrying because we're not getting back to the first love. And that's what we need to do today is to get it back on track, get back on track with God. So thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And I just pray for a release of this, Lord, in each and every one here, Lord, and even into the streets and even into the city, Lord, that we know that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.